Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading today, we hear of this sad and tragic and terrible event when Herod becomes furious and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. It seems Herod is afraid that his throne might be taken. And indeed, Herod was one who was afraid at other times that his throne might be taken. He ended up killing 3 of his sons for fear that they were plotting against him. Why this evil? Why did God allow this, we might ask? Why did he allow this bad thing to happen? Well, that question is not asked, nor is it answered in our gospel reading for today. We should ask another question, a better question. We should ask, why would the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, come down from heaven and become a man and live and walk among people like Herod and then die on a cross for people like Herod? Why would God do all this for sinners like Herod? After all, he came to die, to live and to die and to suffer for sinners. And we were born with a sinful nature, just like Herod was born with a sinful nature. We and Herod are related. We're all descended from Adam. We all are corrupted by sin. We all inherit a sinful nature from him. And so we too are sinners who deserve not love and forgiveness and good things, but we instead deserve God's wrath and punishment. And Herod didn't commit the only evil. Such evils have continued. Hitler and Stalin killed far more. Planned Parenthood in our day has killed far more through abortion. We do not deserve God's love. We do not deserve the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity. We do not deserve God the Son coming to suffer in our place for our sins on the cross. It's not really fair for him to come among us and live amongst our evil and rejection, amongst our own self-centeredness and pride. He deserves to be with his Father, among the holy angels and the Holy Spirit. But we don't deserve that he should come among us, that he should be tempted for us, that he should hunger and thirst like one of us, that he should have to escape from Egypt because a man like Herod is afraid. Afraid of the loss of his throne, when he's going to die and lose it anyway. We don't deserve that he, our Lord, should be nailed to a cross like a criminal for us. We don't deserve that he should have to cry out on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? We don't deserve that Jesus, the perfect, obedient, sinless Son of God, should take on all of our sins on himself and be forsaken by the Father for these sins. And in that being forsaken, should suffer hell on the cross in our place for things that he did not do, for sin that he did not inherit from Adam. So instead of asking, why do evil, sinful people do evil, sinful things, we should instead ask, why does a good God, who is holy and righteous and has done no evil, why does he come and suffer evil from evil people to bring good to evil people? Why does a good God do this for evil people? Love. And why should this same Jesus keep offering his word and sacrament in cultures that despise him? Love. Why should this same Jesus keep offering forgiveness to people year after year and century after century and even week after week to people who have sinned and continue to sin? Love. Why should he give people new birth in holy baptism and bury them with him in his death and raise them to new life? Love. And what is love? 1 John says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." We do not love as we ought. We have not loved God as we ought. And we have not loved our neighbor as we ought. Love is seen in the perfect Son of God being sent and coming to this world to be the propitiation for our sins, to suffer and die, to be punished in our place for our sins. In this is love. This evil committed by Herod accentuates, highlights the love of God in Christ Jesus. That he would come here and suffer for people like Herod, for sinners like us. When you see evil in this world, evil like this that Herod committed, but really all of the evils of this world around you, then you need to come to the one in whom you see the perfect love of God, in whom you know love. You need to come to Jesus. You need to call on his name. Come to church where he gives out his love tangibly, where he gives you his body and blood that paid for your sins, where he shows and demonstrates and actually bestows on you his love. Here he says that you are his, that he loves you so much that he died for you and would give up his life for you and suffer for you, not because of anything you've done, but all because of his love for you and for your salvation. And when you are burdened by your own sin and guilt and reminded of it by the devil, of all the things that you've done in the past, come here and hear the absolution spoken in the stead and by the command of Jesus. In other words, Jesus' words to you are being spoken by a messenger who speaks in the place of and at the command of Jesus. So when you hear these words in the absolution and you're burdened by sin and guilt, hear them not as the words of this person, but as the words of Jesus just being spoken by this person to you, for those sins that you are burdened with. I forgive you all your sins. All means not one is left out. They are all forgiven, all wiped away. All of the things that say that we should not be in the presence of God, that we should not have his love, that we should not have the incarnation of the Son of God, that he should not suffer for us and die for us and be raised for us, that we do not deserve to be reborn or to receive his forgiveness in his body and blood, all of those things are wiped away. All of the things that you have done in the past, and says to you, our Lord says to you, you are forgiven. Here in this place, you hear and receive and taste the love of God for you. There is no other organization made by man in this world that reconciles you with God where your sins are forgiven. Here is a group of people established and set up by God as he buries them and raises them to new life here in the church. He makes a family. He makes this people to be his own and then to give out his forgiveness to you. And only here and only here do you find then this love of God in Christ, and are you reborn. This is what we need in a world of evil. In a world of Herods, where we all, like Herod, are born with a sinful nature. We need to know of and to hear and to receive this love, and we need to, most of all, be reborn, to be buried. That sinful nature needs to be buried with Jesus in our baptism, and we are reborn. And that is what happened to us. And then that new life that we are given needs to be fed with His forgiveness in the absolution and in His body and blood. And we need to keep hearing this again and again and again in the midst of this evil world, in the midst of our own sin and guilt, and in the midst of the temptations of the devil. Why? Why should our Lord come to save us poor sinners who were dead in our trespasses and sins? We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. Why? Hear the words of stanza 4 of our closing hymn for today. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that caused you to embrace, in love all loves excelling, our lost and fallen race. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep you in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.